This morning we're looking at Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 is a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. The righteous will be secure, the wicked will be insecure. And we're going to go ahead and read this psalm, and I want you to look for that contrast. Look for how that the wicked are going to soon be cut off, but the righteous will remain in the land. And the psalmist here is not talking about some future event, as we're going to talk about in a minute. Some twist this scripture to talk about a future event of coming back to live on the earth. This is talking about in David's day, in the psalmist's day, the Israelite who is faithful, he will dwell in the land. The wicked person will soon be cut off. And the reason for this psalm is, it's the same question that we have today. Why is it that the wicked prosper and it seems like they're getting along just fine? And is it really worth, living a righteous life? They had that same question back then. They could look out and see wicked people who apparently were prospering, things were going great for them, and brethren were thinking, well, you know, it doesn't pay to be righteous if you can be wicked and have a good life. And so the psalmist wants to deal with this apparent prosperity, and he wants to let people know that, yes, they do prosper, but it's short-lived. They will be cut off, they will be judged, and the righteous shall go on living. So look for that as we go through this psalm. Look for the statements that talk about the righteous being cut off and the wicked living. Also, look for those statements where he says that they are prosperous, but it's not going to be forever. That's the same kind of question that we have today in our world. We look out in our world and we see the wicked prospering and we wonder, that's just all turned upside down. And we wonder about that, and we need to remember that their day is coming. So look for those kinds of things. Let's read Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in Jehovah and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto Jehovah, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself, it tendeth only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for Jehovah, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Jehovah upholdeth the righteous. Jehovah knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, in smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous dealeth graciously and giveth. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the land, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. A man's goings are established of Jehovah, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Jehovah upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All the day long he dealeth graciously and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For Jehovah loveth justice and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Jehovah will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait for Jehovah and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of peace. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of Jehovah. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. And Jehovah helpeth them and rescueth them. He rescueth them from the wicked and saveth them, because they have taken refuge in him. So the security of the righteous, they will dwell in the land. The insecurity of the wicked, they will be cut off. And there are several verses that give that contrast about one's going to last and the other one's going to be cut off. Verse 9, verse 17, verse 22, verse 28, verse 34. All of these speak of one being cut off, the wicked, the other being withheld and preserved by God. And so the security of the righteous and the insecurity of the wicked. This is another teaching psalm. The word that is commonly used is didactic. It just simply means a teaching psalm. We already looked at this with regard to Psalm 36. It is a teaching psalm where it contrasts righteousness and wickedness. Psalm 1 is another teaching psalm, just simply trying to teach the difference between the righteous way and the wicked way. Psalm 37 is also an acrostic, an alphabetic acrostic psalm. There are a few of these in the Psalms where the first word, the first letter of the first word of certain verses is a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this helped them to memorize the psalm. So the first word of verse 1 is A. And then in this psalm, you skip two verses. So verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, all of the odd verses have a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's a few exceptions as you get on down in there. But it was a device that was used to help memorize a particular psalm. And it is a teaching psalm in order to teach the security of the righteous and the insecurity of the wicked. Notice in verse 25, I am now old. The psalmist, if it is David, is writing this as an older man who has experience in looking out on life, and he sees what is going on. Notice in verse 25, I have seen the righteous. Look also at verse 25. I have seen the righteous. Verse 35, I have seen the wicked. This is based upon what he has seen in life. He has experience. He has wisdom. I've seen that the wicked prosper, but I've also seen how God cuts them off. I've seen how the righteous suffer, but I've also seen how that he upholds them. So it's experience and wisdom in life and seeing these things, and he's now wanting to write about them. He encourages the righteous to trust in the Lord and not worry about. Look at verse 1, fret not. We have the same thing in verse 8, fret not. this is the idea of worrying or being troubled by what is going on in the wicked. We're to trust in God and not to fret. The wicked will ultimately be cut off. His apparent success is only short-lived. So that's really the theme of Psalm 37. And you'll notice that there are some features in this psalm that look a lot like the Proverbs. You may have noticed, for example, verse 16, better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of the wicked. If I were to read that and you didn't know I was reading from the Psalms, you would have thought I was reading one of the Proverbs. It sounds just like a proverb, doesn't it? And then verse 1 is just like Proverbs 24 and verse 19. So there are some statements here that sound like proverbs, short little pithy statements of truth, and there is a similar style between the two. Let's go ahead and start on our questions this morning. We'll start with you, Sherry. What negative exhortations or things not to do does the psalmist give his readers regarding evildoers, and why are they not to do these things? Okay, so do not fret and do not be envious of them. Why? Because they're going to be cut down. Their success is short-lived. Don't look at that and think, well, this is the life I need to have. No, God is going to judge them. So first of all, there are some things not to do. And then there are some things to do. Eric, number two, what positive exhortations does the psalmist give? Right. So instead of fretting, some versions say worry or getting angry, the Hebrew is literally getting hot. Don't get hot. Don't fume. Don't get mad over what's going on. In contrast, what do? Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way into Him, rest in the Lord, you know, trust in the Lord. This is the kind of life we're supposed to have when we're surrounded by wickedness. Joyce, number three, what does the Lord do for the one who delights in Him and trusts in Him?
He shall give you the desires of your heart and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
Right. So we're placing our hands in God's life and in trust, and those things that are best for us, what we need, the desires that match His will, He will grant those. He will bring that to pass. So God will take care of His own. Okay, Mike, number four, what does the psalmist further counsel his readers not to do in the face of evil?
Do not fret.
Right. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, so don't get all angry about it, don't get all uptight, and don't fret. This is the same as verse 1, the idea of worrying and stress and getting mad and getting hot. It's not going to do any good. What's it going to do? Verse 8, it only tendeth to evil. It just makes us end up doing things that are wrong, bad thoughts, maybe even bad actions. We strike out and do something we shouldn't do. So none of that's going to be helpful. We need to be patiently trusting in the Lord, committing our life to Him. That's the life that we need to live. And we're certainly surrounded by a lot of evil in this world today, and even in our own country, and maybe even closer to home, and we need to be practicing these things in our own lives. This is not just theory, that kind of interesting history that we study from David's period. It's supposed to be in our life right now. If the situation comes up for us that's the same, we're to be doing the same types of things, and we're to stay away from these things as well. The whole idea is verse 9, verse 2, they're going to be cut down. They're going to be judged. They're going to be cut down. This is not the life to envy, and it's not the life to get all upset about. We need to trust in the Lord. Okay? Number 5, Sean, what happens to evildoers and what happens to those who wait for the Lord? Exactly. So there's a contrast, and that's what this whole psalm is about. The security of the righteous, they'll dwell in the land. The insecurity of the wicked, they will be cut off. Now's a good time to discuss verse 11, and if you read the notes there, if you haven't, take time to read those. Verse 11 is a very important thing to understand. First of all, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. This verse is quoted or referred to by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Well, it's taken from Psalm 37. And just bear with me while I make a point on this. I will probably end up preaching on this at some point because it's worthy of bringing out. Many people will just take a phrase out of the Bible, like verse 5, just take it out of its context and make it mean whatever they want it to mean. For many years, premillennialists have said that we're going to come back and live on the earth for 1,000 years. And they say, the meek shall inherit the earth. Jehovah's Witness, since the early 1900s, have said that the 144,000 are going to be in heaven, but the great multitude, they get this allegedly from Revelation 7, the great multitude is going to live on a paradise on earth, and the meek shall inherit the earth. They use Matthew 5:5. The Jehovah's Witness use it. The premillennialists use it. And recently, these people who are teaching new creation theology, and a preacher friend of mine used Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. So now some brethren are beginning to use it, that the meek shall inherit the earth. You're going to come back and live on a restored earth. Well, they just take a phrase that kind of sounds good. It's like going through the Bible and getting all of the faith verses and saying, see, we're just saved by faith only, just all of the faith verses. What's happening is some are going through the Bible now and getting all the earth verses. Earth, 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 earth verses. Well, we're going to be on the earth. And they twist it. Now, before I even say anything, we've just read Psalm 37, okay? We've just read Psalm 37. That's where this comes from, Matthew 5:5. The meek shall inherit the earth. The psalmist says, the meek shall inherit the land. Okay? Just not saying anything else, how would you answer that? What would you say about that? Is that what the psalmist is talking about? Is he talking about a future event when the judgment day is already over with, and the righteous are going to live on the earth? Is that what he's talking about? Just reading Psalm 37. We don't get that, do we? Psalm 37 is not about a future event. It's about the time when the psalmist is living. And the righteous are living side by side with the wicked. And the psalmist says that as that's going on, the wicked are going to be cut off, but the righteous shall inherit the land. It's not talking about a future event. It's talking about when these two are dwelling together. In fact, look with me at verse 34. There are several verses here that talk about inherit the land, inherit the earth, dwell in the land. In fact, verse 3, 9, 18, 22, 27, 28, 29, and 34, they all say something about being in the land. Now look at one of these. Verse 34. Wait for Jehovah and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. It's when the righteous are living right alongside with the wicked. This is not some future event after the judgment day. This is right now when the righteous are with the wicked, and the righteous will inherit the land, verse 34, and see the wicked cut off. According to premillennialists, when you reign on the earth for 1,000 years, there are no wicked people around. They're in hell. And the Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe that there's any wicked people around. And even the new creation theologist people don't even believe that. This is when the wicked are still around. Notice something else. Look at verse 19 with me. What's happening is we're just taking a phrase, well, land, earth, okay, that's one of my earth passages. No, you've got to keep it in its context. Look at verse 19. They shall not be put, well, let me back up to verse 18. Jehovah knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. This is going on. They're in the land. They're dwelling in the land. They're inheriting the land when there is famine going on. Well, obviously that's not after the judgment day. Obviously. It's when there, it's a time of evil, verse 19, when they're inheriting the land. So obviously it's not when you come back after the judgment day. So people just are not reading carefully. It's a time when the righteous will inherit the land and they'll see the wicked cut off. It's simply a phrase. Look at verse 11. Read the last part of verse 11. It's a phrase that means you will have a peaceful life in the land as the wicked are being cut off. You will, you Israelite, you will have a peaceful life in the land. That's all that is saying. Now, when Jesus quotes it in the Beatitudes, he applies it to us today. It's the same thing. The meek shall inherit the land. It doesn't mean we're going to come back and live on the earth. It means we're going to have a peaceful life as we see the wicked cut off. The righteous who trust in him and commit their lives to him will be blessed. They will have a peaceful life. God will take care of them. That's what that expression, inherit the land, means. So we really need to get back to keeping things in its context. And again, like I said before, this has nothing to do with after the judgment day. It's talking about at the same time the wicked are living among the righteous. That's when all of this is going on. So keep a verse in its context. Any other thoughts or questions about that before we move on? The righteous are going to inherit the land because they have been rescued from the wicked. The wicked have been cut off and they have a peaceful life. That's what that expression means. And not only that, but go back to verse 3. Dwell in the land. We won't take time this morning to look at this, but if you'll look at the notes portion and go back and read Deuteronomy 16, 20 and Deuteronomy 30 in verse 20. Read those verses where Moses says that if you follow God and serve God, he will cause you to dwell in the land. If you don't, he's going to remove you into captivity. So dwell in the land, inherit the land. That is a promise given to the Israelites. And when they're faithful to God, he will let them stay there. If they're not faithful to God, he's going to take them off of their land. And so that's the background to this statement. It's not talking about a future time of coming back to live on a restored earth. Premillennialist, Jehovah's Witness, New Creation Theology, and now some brethren saying it. And brethren have addressed this for years. You can go back many decades and seeing good, faithful brethren interpreting this, just like I said it, properly. And yet still today, brethren go off and get something from somebody else. They know better. They know better. But they refuse to hear the truth. Any thoughts or questions or observations on that? Okay, number 6. Brittany, what do the wicked do to the just, the poor, the upright, and what happens to the wicked? Right, they do all these bad things to the righteous, but he's going to turn it back on them. The sword that they've drawn, God's going to make it come right back on and slay them. The bow that they've shot is going to come back to shoot them and so forth. And so they're going to get what they sow. They're going to reap what they sow. They're going to get God's judgment. So don't be envious of them. Don't lose your faith over all of that. Number 7, Matthew, what is better and why? Right. And it's the same question that we ask today. It's been asked since the dawn of time, I guess. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? They had this prosperity to them, but it's better to live righteously with less than to have all of this abundance of the wicked. They're going to be judged. They're going to be broken eventually. And we have that today. There's a lot of wickedness that goes on today. And man, they got the money. They got the cars, the houses, the money. Look at these drug lords. Drug lords. Man, they're living in places that would make your head spin. Big old places. and flying around in, you know, jet airplanes and Rolls Royces. They got all kinds of money, but it's a life of wickedness. And ISIS is gaining more money. They've got all kinds of money, you see, all that kind of thing. And people look at that and like, wow, you know, it doesn't pay to be good if you know, you can still get it by living that way. And it gets all turned around, and we have to come back to seeing things clearly. They will ultimately be judged. Yes. Right.
Think of the thing about the abortion folks, slaves bragging she's going to sell baby parts and get her a Lamborghini. I mean, it's infuriating to see people succeeding like that.
Right. Verse 8. If we start going down that path, we will end up doing evil ourselves, thinking something or saying something, or doing something that is wrong. So we've got to be careful about that. Good observation. Okay? Mandy. Number 8, what happens to the perfect and what happens to the wicked? Right. The perfect will be upheld by God. He knows their days. Their inheritance shall be forever. This is the same as living in the land or inheriting the land. They shall not be put to shame. The wicked are going to perish. So again, this contrast. Janus number 9, what are the differences between the wicked and the righteous? Right. So it's not just talking about the end of both of these individuals, but also the way that they live, a contrast in how they live. And we need to be on the righteous side of the ledger. We need to be described as the one who is gracious and giving. Larry, number 10, what does the Lord do for those who follow him? Right. This is the incentive for living the righteous life. The Lord's going to take care of us. Don't envy that other lifestyle. We have the lifestyle where the Lord is on our side and he's going to take care of us. Shannon, number 11, what does the psalmist see or observe concerning the righteous? Right. It's an illustration of what's just been said there in verses 23 and 24. The Lord is going to take care of these people. And here's an illustration. I've seen it in my own life, how that the righteous are taken care of. Patty, number 12, what does the psalmist counsel his readers to do and why? Right. So don't start doing what they're doing. Don't emulate their life. Don't follow their life. Depart from that. Do good, and the Lord will take care of you. Because it's this attitude that you get into, well, what does it pay to be good? It does. Do good, and the Lord will take care of you. And he loves justice. He's on your side. It answers the question, what does it pay to do good if the wicked, if you can live any way you want and still prosper? It pays to do good, and the payment is God is going to uphold you and preserve you. That's what God wants. That's the reward. So it's a counsel to not just be envious of them and not get angry, but verse 27, don't do it. Stay away from that stuff as well. Okay, Sherry, back to you. Number 13, how does the psalmist describe the righteous?
Speaks wisdom, talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. He will not slip.
Right. Just as a practical lesson for us today, we need to make sure that we see ourselves in verse 21b. We need to be the one, are we gracious? Are we giving? Okay? We need to see ourselves in verse 30. If we don't, then we need to make some changes. Is the law of God in my mouth? Am I talking of wisdom? Is justice, which is right, fair, is it on my tongue? Is the law in my heart. You see, that needs to be describing me. And if not, I need to make some changes. We need to personalize these admonitions and these descriptions. Make sure that, we are there. Okay, number 14, Eric, what do the wicked do to the righteous and how does the Lord respond?
The wicked watch the righteous and seek to slay them. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn them when he is judged.
Right, so when they want to cause problems, the Lord will step in and help, help the righteous. So we need to remain faithful to him. Joyce, what does the psalmist counsel his readers to do? Right. Wait for Jehovah. We saw this in a previous psalm. It doesn't mean to wait in the sense of sitting around in a chair. It means patient hope and trust and commitment. And let him work out his plan in his own time and trust him. Wait on Jehovah. And don't flee to the other side of evil and wickedness, even though it's tempting to do that. Okay, Mike, number 15, what is the psalmist, number 16, what does the psalmist see or observe concerning the wicked?
Created himself like an luxurious tree, passed away, and was no more, and could not be found.
Right. And so again, he's old, verse 25. He has a lot of wisdom. He has a lot of experience. He's seen a lot of things. And I've seen the righteous taken care of. I've also seen this where the wicked, they're so powerful and prosperous. It's like a big old green tree. And you just can't, it's so beautiful there. And it's obviously doing well. And it just spreads themselves. But then I've lived long enough, verse 36, to pass by and see that all that was gone. So you have to think about these things from the wise standpoint, not just we get up one morning and kind of make some decisions on the spur of the moment. We have to look at the big picture, and that's what the psalmist is trying to get us to see here. So eventually they are cut down. And, of course, we've seen that in our own life from time to time as well. Number 17, Sean, what is the end of the upright man and what is the end of the wicked man? Okay, and that's really the theme of the whole psalm, the security of the righteous, the insecurity or the cutting off, the despoiling of the wicked. And Brittany, what will the Lord do for the righteous? Verse 39 through 40. Right, so that's why we ultimately need to wait for him, trust in him, commit our lives to him, fear him, because ultimately they're the ones who are saved. The others, the wicked, are cut off. Any questions or observations about the text there? Any thoughts?
Chris,
yes.
This obviously, this psalm emphasizes the wicked prospering. That's physical. When we look, we see physical prosperity and monetary, those type of things. So it brought to mind 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, God sees not as man sees.
Right.
I think it's really
that's a good point. The Psalms help us to see things through the eye of faith and trust and spiritual eyes, not just the way the world sees things. And that's a good observation. These are not one man's opinions. Remember, the Holy Spirit spoke through David. 1 Samuel 23. The Holy Spirit spoke through David. These are spiritual lessons from God on how to view things in life. And often it is by getting our eyes up off of just the way normal people would look at things and see them through the eye of faith and trust in God. So that's a good observation, a good reminder. Let's look at some applications before we sing our song. Faith cures fretting. Trusting God is the antidote to fretting, envy, and anger. We're not to be fretful, envious, or angry over the wicked. What are Christians not to do? Matthew?
There'll be
Right. Some versions say worry, my version. Other versions say anxious. Anxiety, worry. It's this idea of fretting. We're not to have it even among us as Christians. Okay? Janice, what does the wicked are ultimately going to be cut off? That's what we've seen in this whole psalm. What does God use government to do to evil men? Yeah, they're going to be punished. God uses punishment. And who is the face of the Lord against? Mandy? 1 Peter 3:12. Right, those who do evil, so God can use civil government to punish evil. He's certainly against evil. In the judgment day, his wrath is going to be toward those who do evil. Wrath and tribulation and anguish. And at the end of time, the wicked will be separated from the righteous. Matthew 13:49. So the life of the wicked is not the life to envy and to look at and to go after. There's going to be ultimate destruction. And sometimes even in this life, God uses government to punish evil men. And we need to keep praying for our government that we will do that. We see even we're slipping in that area. We've seen just recently in the mass shooting out in Colorado, the man goes into the theater. And he slaughters 12 people, others are injured, and he gets life in prison, which I'm glad he got life in prison. But there could have been a harsher deterrent than that, but at least he got that. But we're slowly slipping even in punishing the evildoer, and so we need to be careful about that. But that's how God does it now, but ultimately in the judgment day, they will be punished. So that's really what the whole psalm is about. There are some other applications here that we need to think about, but I wanted to close with number 5. As we go through life, we need to trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit our way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord, wait on the Lord. Do you get the point there? That it's all about being Lord-focused in our life. Not what we see, like what Sean was talking about, just what we see with the material eye. But we have to have that eye of faith that constantly is committing and trusting our lives to Him. And that's what Paul did. Peter tells Christians to do that. And James tells us to do the same thing. So patiently trust and wait on the Lord. Let's sing before we close. This is taken from the first few verses of the psalm. Based on There Is a Fountain.
Do not be angry or outraged when evil men you see. Do not be envious of those who do iniquity, for they, like grass, will quickly change, will wither and decay, just like a green and tender plant. They soon will fade away. Trust in the Lord and cultivate the good that you possess. Be settled in the land and choose to live in faithfulness. Enjoy the Lord and He will give your heart's desire to you. Commit your pathway to the Lord. Trust Him, He will be true. He'll manifest
your righteousness as clearly as the light, and show the justice of your cause like noonday shining bright. Before the Lord, be still and wait for Him, wait earnestly. Do not let schemers anger you with their prosperity. Let anger cease to be in you and turn away from wrath. For only evil will result with anger's aftermath. For evildoers will not last, cut off they cannot stand. But those whose hope is in the Lord, these will possess the land. And so in just a little while, the wicked will not be. You may seek out where once he lived, but him you will not see. As for the humble, patient ones, the land they will possess, and there will savor the delights of peaceful blessedness.